Welcome to Linoleum Knife
Podcasting.
Sorry, we overdid the P's and the T's last week, so we're trying to
podcasting.
Sort of trying to dial that down a little bit. Across the table from me is Dave White, film critic for movies.com.
I do other things.
But
in addition to that.
Well, yes,
I'm a more well-rounded individual than simply a professional.
In the context of this criticizer. Show, what matters the most is...
No, that's actually not true. I believe that the people need to understand that we are not simply movie-watching drones, that we are whole human beings with extra special
features. Are you implying that people we know who have the same jobs that we are movie-watching drones?
Yes.
Not true.
Yes. Almost all of them. Throw me a name and I'll tell you.
Our dear friend Jen Yamato is not just a movie watching drone.
Yes, she is.
She also watches Vampire Diaries.
See, yes.
Hi, Jen. Okay, what else would you like me to say about you, besides the fact that you're the movies.com film critic?
I write for the Los Angeles Literary Quarterly.
Mm, true.
Called Slake.
That's true. You do.
I'm on the KCRW storytelling show, Unfictional.
That's also true.
Neither one of those things have anything to do with movies. Although,
I did
write a story for Slake about going to see Super Babies.
Yes.
But they didn't print it.
And they never said why.
No, it didn't fit, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't fit the theme well enough. Uh-huh. Like, I thought I was doing that.
Super Babies is always relevant.
I thought I fit the theme real well. I thought it was like, Super Babies was the movie. Seriously, and I'm not making this up. Super Babies was the movie that I saw that tipped the scale in my life, and I walked out of it kind of shaken to my core.
As did we all.
And you weren't there. I was alone.
I know.
I was alone. It was Pedophile Tuesday is what it was. Or Friday.
Friday.
It was a Friday, yeah. For some reason, they didn't show this movie.
Imagine.
No. I mean, they did. Somebody, they showed it. They screened it for somebody because my experience of going to the Fridays... To the movies that didn't screen for critics.
Oh, there were at least the cushion of other critics.
There was at least a bunch of other critics. So if you were there for some children's film...
You didn't look like a total perv.
You didn't look like the guy who was like, I'm here to see Super Babies. You know what I mean? Like, and so...
Sexy, sexy Super Babies.
Like, they didn't tell me about the press screening. And so I show up on the day to watch Super Babies, and it's like... Half a dozen moms, little kids. And I'm like, where are the other guys? Because I knew their faces. They're these guys that I would just see
right
there on Fridays whenever the movie for that week was not being screened for critics. But I was alone. And of course, all these mommies, you know, in the theater are like pulling their children in a little closer to me. Because it's not like I'm even a nice looking individual. Like,
stop.
I look like a marauding goon.
Two strangers.
That got out of the prison just the other day. And so... Like, it was not, so not only was it like, did I feel like I was being looked at like some kind of like child molester, but I also
had to watch Super Babies.
Had to watch Super Babies. And so when I was done with it, I was like, that's it. Like, this isn't just a job for fun anymore. Like before that, I was like, oh, it's kind of fun. Like I do this for a living and it's kind of fun to do. But after that movie, I was like, no, I really am a drone now. Like I am, but I guess my story was badly written or something and it didn't communicate that effectively. And so they were like, nah, we don't want this one. I turned in a different story and,
Maybe you should put it up on Facebook or something.
Put it in the next book.
Or put it in the next book.
I'm working on that next book.
Yes, I hope so.
I published a book in 2006, a memoir.
That's true.
And I'm working on another book right
Dave's
now.
Book is called Exile at Guyville, and it's real funny, and if you haven't read it,
so
you
these
ought.
Are my credentials other than just watching movies. I do a lot of things.
Not that anyone asked, but okay.
I make pies. I just spackled and sanded a wall.
Yes. Okay.
About 10 minutes before
okay.
we sat down.
Okay, yes, but for the purposes really of fun. Our podcast... You are the film critic for movies.com.
Okay, yeah, I am.
Yes.
Yeah. And what do you do again?
Do we have to do this every
What's
week?
Your story?
You just introduce me normally for once, DVD like you, like we've met.
DVD editor at movieline.com.
Thank you.
Boss dude at LAFCA. Not the boss, but one of the cabal of bosses. And then author of two movie books, yes. 101 must-see movies for gay men. Although it's kind of actually, you know what? That book is really for anybody. I mean, if like you're cool enough to walk into a bookstore and be like, I'm not gay, but I'm going to buy this book that is about movies for gay men. Because all those movies in that book aren't really, I mean, there's really nothing gay about them. I mean, some of them are gay themed, but a lot of them aren't. And they're just a good guidebook to some awesome movies.
Well, thank you.
If you would like to step up and be more awesome in your life and you don't happen to be a homosexual like Alonzo Duralde, then you could buy that book and you would really enjoy yourself. Plus, you are also the author of Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas, mm-hmm. which is, that's kind of a gay book.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, we've now killed 6 minutes introducing each other, just so you know.
The public has a right to know.
So on this week's show, we'll be talking about The Roommate and Sanctum, and we'll be answering viewer mail or listener mail. Stop it. No, last week I made a plea for people to please send us emails to linoleumpodcast@gmail.com, and several of you did, and yep, so we're very appreciative, and we're going to read one of those letters on the air later and answer
some questions. We're going to answer it. It'd take half the show to answer this question.
Yeah, well, you know, but the movies are lame, so we'll get through them quickly. The Roommate. I had a similar situation that you had at Super Babies because, you know, we've gone to midnight movies on Thursday nights of films that open on Friday, and it's sort of been
you
sort
do
of
more
a,
of that than me. Yes. I'm only doing that but if you, but I absolutely
But we went, forced. Remember when we went to see Halloween 2, it was like a film critic hootenanny.
Yeah, it was.
But I was expecting more critics, and I saw Mark Olson from the LA Times, and that was it. The odd thing about it, though, is it was like a kind of full screening, like one of the fuller.
Well, people are stupid, that's why.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a smaller theater at the Grove that didn't smell like poop, which was nice. But it was pretty full.
A smaller theater.
Yeah, it was like theater 12.
Why were you in there?
That's where they showed it.
I went the very next morning with Gray, my colleague at Movies.com, Gray Drake mm-hmm. of the Popcorn Mafia yes, podcast, yes. Who is now our new film critic at Movies.com with yes. me, and we were in house like 2, which is one of those big ones with the Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah,
with
the
stuff.
Big.
Those
well,
are good.
I think at midnight they just figured, well, only this many people are going to show up, so they probably
That's
just moved
really
it.
Weird.
Anyway, so The Roommate, it's pretty bad.
It's not pretty bad.
Okay, it's terrible.
It's stupid, awful bad.
It has no reason to exist. And yeah. I did review it this week at hitfix.com, so feel free to check it out there. But
yeah
in essence, it is a Lifetime remake of Single White Female.
You know. I mean, it's so just safe and smoothed over and... It's not rated R, so you know how that goes with the PG-13 R-rated. The PG-13 R.
There's no horror, there's no boobies and no bleeding.
Yeah, no blood, no boobs, no, you know, gore, no fear.
It's a surprisingly thrill-less thriller. Like the tension never like builds. It just sort of occurs and then stops and then it occurs again and then it stops again. Like it never mounts at all, you know.
Here's the enjoyment you can get from this movie. Okay, so the nice girl in the movie, the one that accidentally gets psychotic Leighton Meester.
Minka Kelly.
I can't remember that name.
She's on Friday Night Lights and she's on Parenthood and we've never watched either show. So okay. We don't know.
Well, her name is Minka Kelly. And so she's the nice girl in the movie, and she's a fashion student. But she wears those hats. You know those hats with the little mini fedoras that people wear all tilty on their heads?
It's all Justin Timberlake's fault.
Yeah, it was like the trend of those, what, how long has that been going on now? Like 6 years, maybe?
Yeah, they came after trucker caps.
And they just right after trucker caps came those caps. But you can get – they have terrible – kiosks in like the Sherman Oaks Fashion Square Mall. Excuse me, I'm gonna cough. Sorry about that.
Yep.
Did I just kill our levels by doing
it? No.
They have like all those hats in like all these colors, leopard print and whatever. Hers looks blue and made of like rattan or something. Yeah. She's this little like plaid, you know,
kerchief
loop around it. This is the stupidest hat. And so like people, she wears this hat around and it mesmerizes people in the film because they're like, wow, you've got style. I mean, someone actually says that to her.
A guy who's supposed to be teaching a course in like design.
Yeah, you've got style.
And you can't teach that. You know?
Like, no, you don't. You don't. You went to Shitty Hats R Us. Oh man, I just said a swear. And you got that hat. And she puts it on a lot in that movie. And then when Leighton Meester pretends tries to become her, she goes and gets one too. So it's like so easy to find these stylish chapeaux everywhere that Leighton Meester can just like go to, you know, 7-Eleven to the clothing section.
Next to the vitamins.
The truck stop where they sell the, like, you know, these colors don't run t-shirts.
And the Jeff Foxworthy with the A-tracks. Hats
next to it. Yeah.
You know, something of all the stupid things that we've talked about, or that we both pointed out in our individual reviews, the one I forgot about, Leighton, it's totally following the single white female playbook. Leighton Meester dyes her hair so that she can put the stupid fedora on.
And then dyes it back immediately after the next scene.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, it does not stay dyed.
Yeah, it doesn't stay dyed dark, yeah.
Yeah, lame. Anyway, so roommate is terrible.
She takes her to, Leighton Meester takes her, it's supposed to be like this big, you know, art fan, right? And takes Minka Kelly to, it's Mocha. It's inside the big... Mocha down in Little Tokyo.
Right.
And
that's the Museum of Contemporary Art for people who don't live in LA.
Yeah. And but first of all, Mocha is dark inside. Like it's an art museum where the lights are off, except, you know, lights are being shined.
The single shaft.
Under the crappy art. I don't even know what art that was. It was not a real artist until she takes her into the room where there's a giant Richard Prince nurse painting, and she's like, oh, Richard Prince really captures the blah 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 of this nurse. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand a thing. Whoever wrote this movie doesn't know what they're talking about, except that they know who Richard Prince is. Then they leave Mocha and they are on Hollywood Boulevard.
maybe they were at the Museum of Sex.
Yeah, so there's that. And then the whole Cam Gigandet, whatever his name is,
Gigande or whatever,
a book in the library. Yeah,
oh, that's classic.
And he's walking down the stacks, and he's just sort of like touching them,
running his fingers along. Like he's never been in a library in his life.
You sit there and you watch him do it. He's like book, 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 book. This one.
Well,
and we're making it sound more fun.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's just stupid.
You watch it on. Here's what you do: if you're gonna go see this movie, get your friends. Get their friends.
Put wine coolers in your purse.
Get wine coolers. Get some Zimas. And go.
Some Four Loko.
Get some Four Loko and go. And you know, have a good time. But otherwise, if you're cheap, you know, wait till it comes on cable and then do the same thing. There's nothing about this movie that inspires you to have a good time. You're going to have to bring your own party.
Yeah, yeah. To create it. Your own entertainment.
Because it's just...
It just lies there.
It's a dried husk of a poo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's as good a way to put it, isn't it?
Yeah.
The other big release of the week is Sanctum, which I liked more than a lot of people, I think, even though I didn't love it.
It's not good.
It's not good, no, but it's not good. But it's entertaining, and it's...
All right, well, you know what's good about it? I figured this out. It's shot really well.
It is.
And it looks real. It looks like they're really in a cave that's totally flooding, but it was all sets.
Yeah, no, it looks real. And we talked about this. There's no famous people in it, except for Dave didn't know that the lead guy was the Duke in Moulin Rouge.
The real prissy Duke that sings Like a Virgin with Jim Broadbent in Moulin Rouge. He's like this spelunking the
champion
man.
Spelunker.
Yeah, and he's like real angry and mean and stuff and like, bullying everybody. And after it was over, I was like, that was that guy? That was the Duke from Moulin Rouge? Yeah,
yes.
It was.
But anyway, because there's like no famous people in it, anybody can die at any moment.
Yeah.
And so that was like, oh, wow, they're going to kill off. They can kill off anybody, you know.
Dies.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're Australian, you don't know. Really, who he is. I mean, I looked him up on IMDb. His name is Richard...
Roxburgh.
Roxburgh?
It's Roxburgh. I heard James Cameron on the radio called him Roxburgh. I thought it was Roxborough, but...
whatever. But
one of us is wrong.
He's totally famous in Australia.
Yeah, he's a big deal there.
He's been in a million things.
Him and Jackie Weaver, apparently. Yeah. You know, huge, huge stars in Australia. But yeah, and Ioan Griffith, or however you say that guy's name, Mr. Fantastic.
Ioan Griffith.
Whatever. He's
I'm just going to start pronouncing everyone's names phonetically.
Oh yeah, Ioan Griffith.
I think they're all made up. Cam Gigandet. He pulled that name out of like a Pictionary game or something. I don't. That doesn't make any sense. That joke doesn't make any sense.
You said it before that it was porny. I think it is.
It's a porny name.
Cam Gigante.
It is a super porny.
Except game. He said if he spelled it Gigante, you know, that would really put it over, I think. Anyway, so Ioan Griffith does this terrible American accent and is not very good in this movie. And is he ever good? I mean,
I don't know.
I think the last thing I saw him in was, I didn't see the Fantastic Four movie, so I think
the Fantastic Four movies are no good.
I saw him in, I think, 101 Dalmatians 2 or whatever.
102 Dalmatians?
102 Dalmatians, yeah. Anyway, so yeah. So
was he Cruella de Vil?
No, sadly. So Sanctum, you know, I don't know. I got scared some, and I thought it was kind of suspenseful. What? And yeah.
At what?
When did you get scared? When the woman is hanging down from the thing and has to.
Don't spoil things.
I'm not. I was trying. Believe me, I'm not.
That was scared you?
Yeah.
How is that remotely scary?
Well, I can't really talk about it because it's a major spoiler.
Talk around it. There's nothing fearful. I mean, it's gross.
It's gruesome.
And it's tense. It's tense.
It was the movie's like 127 hours moment. Let's say
you're freaking out a little bit. Now, yes, I was freaking out a little bit at that.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Moment as well. But it didn't scare me.
Well, I'm not scared, but like I was like,
get your words straight.
I was all, you know, So anyway, so it was okay. You know, it's not great, but
it's not the worst movie you've ever seen. It is sort of like a solidly.
It's a good sort of B movie, you know, B-movie about people stuck in a cave. You know,
adventure. It's no Poseidon Adventure.
No,
because that's basically the plot. Like, who will survive? They must climb up or out or through or in this like really like lower intestine,
the Earth's colon
cave, yeah, like where the passages are like tubes carved out of rock where like even little people, you know, are being squozed.
Yeah, if you're claustrophobic,
trying to get through, and they're claustrophobic. If you weren't claustrophobic going into this movie, you will be when you're done.
Yeah, so you know, it's not that great, but it was okay. Yeah. You know.
It ain't horrible.
Yeah, it's better than a lot of the reviews would indicate, but it's not particularly great.
It's just one of those movies where like people are shouting kind of stiff, dumb dialogue at each other.
Oh yeah.
But then as soon as they stop doing that, then there's some cool action.
Right.
And you can enjoy yourself that
way. Yeah, yeah. So
if you have a drive-in.
It'd be a perfect drive-in movie.
For the drive-in.
Although it does, I will say, I thought
the 3D is not good.
I thought the 3D was okay.
No.
I saw it in IMAX, and it was
only in the shots that the 3D is okay in the parts where it takes advantage of like this spatial sort of
the
thing,
depth
where things are being, you know, depthy at you.
Right.
It's not like it throws stuff at you.
No. Yeah, it's not.
I like 3D to throw stuff.
I prefer that, but if you're going to go this way, like I'll tell you this way, I think the 3D in this is better than the 3D Werner Herzog movie in the real caves.
Maybe.
You know, you haven't seen it yet, but you'll. You know, so that's I'll give it that.
How do you know I haven't seen it?
Because you haven't seen it.
You don't know about me.
I know all about you.
What if I have a secret life? You don't know half the things I'm doing.
You barely have a non-secret life. Okay, so we have...
How many minutes do we have left in our 30-minute podcast?
We have about 10, so we just...
Oh, this should take up all of that.
Yeah, so here's a letter from a listener from Timmy in Connecticut, who writes...
Timmy? Timmy what? Do you have a last name?
Well, I don't... He might not want it read, so I'm just going to say Timmy and Craig.
So he does give a last name.
He does give a last name.
So maybe it's someone that we know like on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it already.
Could be, yes.
Okay.
the header on this is, admire your work, aspire to be just like you guys.
That's your first mistake.
That's why I don't want to read his name out loud. Hey, Alonzo and Dave / Dave and Alonzo. As I said in the subject line, I'm a huge fan of your work, although I only recently discovered Alonzo. I've been reading Dave's reviews since at least his There Will Be Blood review. So
that's
a little over,
as it should be.
So a little over 3 years. I am a junior English major at the University of Connecticut, and I love movies and love to write. Basically, the point of this email, other than to throw you guys a bone and to populate your dust bunny-laden inbox, is to ask the both of you how you got to where you are.
It's Alonzo's inbox that has the dust bunnies. He never organizes it, and he never cleans it out.
Okay, can
and
I?
It gets tall.
Can I read this?
It's a tall stack of things and it falls over.
Can I read this?
This is real, too. I'm not making this up. This is not figurative. This is literal. And okay. This dust bunny box okay. is full of them.
Could you shut your inbox?
My inbox is organized and clean.
Is to ask the both of you how you got to where you were in your careers, what jobs you worked at, where you submitted your writing, who you talked to, etc. I want to do exactly what it is you two do for a living. That's stretching it, the for a living part. Otherwise, I fear that I'm going to end up being a lawyer, and I honestly am not sure I want that to happen.
Actually, being a lawyer would be worse.
Yeah, that's probably true. please respond.
I mean, you'd have more money.
I would.
If you became a lawyer.
I would really.
What do you want in your life? Do you want money?
Can I finish this letter?
Yeah, all right.
Please respond. I would really, really appreciate it. Like, you have no idea how much I admire the both of you. And also, even though I know it's probably impossible, could you please do Linoleum Knife more often? It's by far my favorite podcast to listen to.
No, we can't.
No, we cannot. Sorry about that. Okay, to answer your question.
Can't, I mean won't.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. To answer your question, here's the thing. I started... Yeah,
tell your story first.
Okay, I
and then I'll tell everyone how...
I started, you don't know. I started doing all this in a whole other paradigm. Like, the internet did not exist in 1989 when I got my first job out of college. But basically, while I was in college, which is where you are now, I wrote movie reviews for my college paper. And that was a very good experience. And
didn't they have a Beat Alonzo Oscar guessing game?
Yes, they did. They did. And I was always terrible at that, so I was beaten frequently.
Didn't you predict accurately the college football scores or something like
that? Yeah, that's a whole other story.
That's though. Funny.
Anyway, so I wrote movie reviews through college, and I also ran where I went to school. We used to have an on-campus cinema. This was before the days of cable on campus and everybody having a DVD player. We showed movies every night at the cinema on campus, and I wrote the blurbs for that film schedule, which really, you know, was valuable for, like, when I went to film festivals and stuff and learned how to write, you know, short, punchy copy that made people want to come see movies. Anyway, my first job out of college was at a newspaper, and then...
And he reviewed Alabama concerts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they maybe...
got in trouble.
I was doing music, and it wasn't a good fit, and so after 6 months, they canned me. And then I went to work for a film festival for a while, and then I came to L.A. in 92 and wrote for free, basically, for this... bar rag that no longer exists called Planet Homo. But the upside of that, there were two upsides of that, actually. One was that's how I got into Movie Line magazine, because I wrote an article about bad movies we love when the book came out that Ed Margulies, who was the editor at the time, saw and actually hired me to write like a cable column for them and do some other stuff. And it got me into a lot of...
They saw your thing in Planet Homo, and yeah. then they hired you.
That's how I got the gig, yeah. And then,
so you just sort of journalistically... butt kissed your way.
No, I didn't review the book with an agenda in mind. I liked the book, and then
that's
right. Oh, shut up. And then
tell more lies.
The other good, I'm not lying. The other good thing was that I got to join the LA Film Critics Association, which, you know, sort of made me look credible, even though I wrote for a publication called Planet Homo. Then I spent the next 5 years in Dallas doing film festival stuff, and then I came back out here and. Eventually wound up at The Advocate for like 6 years. So basically, I've always kind of gone back and forth between journalism and film festival stuff.
Yeah.
But again, I started in the day when like you wrote for free sometimes because something was going to get printed and that meant it was going to get into people's hands and it was going to get exposure. Now you have the internet where...
You write for free for a living.
Exactly. Everybody and anybody can write for free with, you know, no credentials whatsoever as a film critic.
And then the people who are paying you to write want to pay you like $5.
Exactly. Yeah, and 8 months, you know. I'll
pay you $5 8 months
from now
for a 1,000-word film review.
Yeah, that needs to be in by noon. So I honestly really don't know how to answer your question because I don't.
You just did.
Well, okay. I guess. I mean, because I.
A cautionary tale.
Yeah, exactly. Do not do this. But no, I don't know how it works with the internet now because everybody writes for free and everybody who feels like it can just poop out whatever text they want and throw it out to the world. And so I don't know how that translates into paying jobs.
Well, it does though. I mean, after a while,
do bloggers get gigs? I mean,
yeah, they do. They get jobs doing other things or they monetize their blogs.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, cause your story, yes, true. Cause you were a blogger and that was kind of like how you got discovered at, you know, wrong. Schraft's, you know,
wrong.
Well, no.
Wrong.
I'm talking about your eventual MSNBC thing.
Are you gonna tell my story, or am I?
Oh, go. Yeah. You tell your lies my now, story is, liar.
My story is inspiring.
Oh, yes.
Yours was boring.
Get out your handkerchiefs.
Mine is a rags.
It's like the Lou Gehrig.
Mine is a rags to less raggy rags story.
I see rags.
I was a middle school teacher in Texas, and then... And then Alonzo dragged me out to Los Angeles, and I hated it. But I thought, when I got out here, I thought, well, you know what? I've been writing my own zine.
Well, you were writing in Dallas.
I know. I'm fixing to say that part.
Okay.
So I was writing my own zine in Dallas with my friend Stephanie. And then I was also writing for this magazine called Instinct. I was writing music reviews. And
tell them how you got the job.
I went about it all the wrong way. Don't do this ever because it won't work. This new magazine came along called Instinct, and I thought it was pretty shitty. Here I am complaining about swears, and I'm doing it twice.
Yes. So yeah, we got the first issue.
Put out one issue, and I was like, well, this is crap. And so I look at the music page, and I thought, well, this is crap too. And in addition to being a school teacher, I was also working in a record store, and I had access to a lot of. Music before it got released. And so I emailed the editor and I said, your music page is crap. I could do a better job and you should just let me. And he goes, I can't afford to pay you anything. And do you have access to advanced copies of records? And I was like, I do, because I work in a record store. And so I started doing that for free. Like, that they allowed this to happen is absurd. But they let me start doing it for free. My record reviews wound up in print. After about a year of that, I started writing like these dumb features for them about...
Well, after we moved here.
Pop culture. No. I did it in Dallas.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And I was just writing stuff, again, still for free. Like, I was just like, I'm just doing this for fun. I just like seeing my name in the magazine.
Did we get paid when we wrote about our wedding or no?
No.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
Then we moved to LA, and I was like, well, I want to do this, you know, maybe I'll do this for a job. Maybe I can, you know, start doing that. So I just started sending clips around, and only one person responded. But the woman who did is really awesome. Her name is Lori Pike, and she is now the fashion editor at the Los Angeles Magazine. And which I started writing for her magazine at the time. It was called Glue. And then I started writing movie reviews for a website called iFilm. And then a new editor for that site came along, and he thought I was cool, and he put me as their full-time film critic. And as I just went doing that, you know, and then MSNBC. I got the MSNBC job from my blog.
Yes, that's like what I was talking. That's what I was talking about.
Was the editor there at the time. She was reading my blog. I didn't know who she was, but out of the blue, she contacted me and was like, do you want to write for me? And so that happened. And then, yeah, so everything that has happened to me has been an utter accident. Like, I have pushed a little bit careerist, you know, wise, but in general, people have just come to me and been like, do you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do that.
And you even got fired by movies.com, and then after mass reader email, but you know, but it's a thing. It'll never happen to me, so I just love that it happened to you. Your fan base complained enough that they hired you back, which was pretty awesome.
That was very nice. That was very nice that happened. But you know, as far as you want to write about movies, then I think what you're going to have to do is start your own review website.
Mm.
Or if you can find a website that wants you to write reviews for free, and they all do.
Yeah.
If you say I work for free, they'll be like, okay, you know. Now, if you want to make money and be comfortable and live in a house and stuff,
be a lawyer.
Be a lawyer.
But you know, he's in college,
you want to be happy.
Oh, you know,
what you want with your life?
I'd say while you're still in college, write for your college paper
if they even have one.
Everybody's still got a college paper, and people still actually read them. And I think you're still. It's the thing about college is it's like one of the last chances you get to kind of try new things
and fail.
with minimal, you know, like, you don't have to, like, spend a lot of money or do take yourself out of where you'd normally be. Like, when I was in college, I got to direct a play. You know, like, am I going to get to direct a play now without, like, spending a lot of money or
you could
something crazy? No. But in college, it was very easy to just do that.
Do you want to direct a play now?
Not really, no.
Put your mind to it.
I'm saying, though, it's much easier to do that sort of thing when you're in college. And so while you are in college, take advantage of all the things that are happening on campus that are ways that you can get your stuff out there. First among them, write reviews for your college paper or submit some and see what
they
say.
Go for it.
Yeah. You know.
I'm kidding. Don't go for it.
This is a
perfect. If you want to be secure and stable in life, don't do anything that we did.
Yeah, because really, I feel like that I, you know, the joke I always tell people that I feel like I spent my youth preparing to be a harpsichord repairman, because the job of film critic has disappeared rapidly over the course of my adult life. You know, I mean, newspapers have gone away. There are fewer and fewer outlets to run this stuff that are paying. No one's quite the web is still seeing people trying to figure out like how we're making money off of it and who's providing the content. And
you should also not like put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly,
and because you want to be a writer. You want to be a writer, so just, you know, be a writer. And if you want to write about movies, you want to write about TV, you want to write about popular culture, music, art, theater, whatever.
You need to know about all that other stuff to have some context for
everything. And be interested in everything and learn everything and read everything and see everything. And,
you know,
and just, like, and if don't narrowcast yourself.
Yeah, by all means. And if you want to write about the film business, then, you know, learn about how business in general works. Learn economics. Learn, company stuff. We're a little bit over, but not much.
I think we've given him all the advice we need.
All right. So anyway, keep the faith. Thanks for writing.
And if we didn't answer your question well, then you can ask more questions.
Yes, write us back.
And we'll email you the answers next time.
But anyway, so anybody else out there, if you've got questions or comments or whatever.
Don't send too many questions, because I don't want to spend all this time answering your questions.
We're not necessarily going to make this a weekly thing.
It should be more about me. Also you.
Yeah. Anyway, you can drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. And tell your friends. It has been pointed out to us that we've been doing a not very good job of promoting this show. So
we're on Facebook. We promote it on Facebook and on Twitter and stuff.
I know.
What else are we supposed to do?
We need to,
bus ads? What?
No, but we need to like start a Facebook page for this show, which we haven't done yet. But we're going to do it. And
we are.
I'll do it. Don't relax. No one's making you do anything, Dave White. That's our show this week.
I just sanded a wall.
Yes, you did.
You go do that. You be the handyman around here. And then I'll work on the Facebook page. Yeah.
Could you have said that with more condescension?
I could try. I'll work up a routine for next week, and I'll say it with more condescension.
Great. Okay.
Someone's got to do the work around here while you fiddle about on Facebook.
We got to pay my automobiles.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Catch us next week on Linoleum Knife.